This story is one of a series of 10 stories of missing experience that are comprised from narrative interviews with adults who've been reported as missing and who have returned and who contributed to the ESRC-funded Geographies of Missing People research project.
There was an incident at home and they decided to section me. Once I was in the hospital, it felt like things were building up over a few days. So when I woke up in that morning, the night before even, I knew that I was going to disappear. And these are extreme feelings that start to surface, and it means that I really, really want to disappear and go missing. I was getting more and more agitated. I didn't feel safe, which was strange because the ward was a very safe place to be. But for me that day, it didn't feel safe. Leading up to the moment that I disappeared was just this feeling of great helplessness and this real sense of fear. I wasn't in control of it. The fear took over everything else. I couldn't settle and had just this churning in my stomach. You know, my heart was beating faster and my mind was going 19 to the dozen. I was just really, really distressed. That was the run-up to it. My body became uncomfortable. The agitation, the constant nervousness and jumpiness was actually physically painful after a while. I thought I would lose that by disappearing. I would lose those sensations from my body and then it would just be okay. Going missing was a release from the ward and a release of my pent-up emotions and frustrations. It did work in a way. It wasn't the first time I've done this while being in hospital. The first time I walked out, I was on what's called a day pass. The second time, I was not allowed at hospital at all, but I'd somehow managed to walk out straight past six psychiatric nurses in the nurses' room. Now, some of them were even looking in the direction of the door. This third time, I just walked straight through the hospital and kept on going until I was out. I'd put on my waterproof fleece, and I thought what I needed to put in the night before, and I'd actually organised what I needed to take with me. So I had my bag and I just took what I needed. You don't want to go walking out of a mental health unit with a big bag because they'll go, excuse me, where are you going, sir? So, yeah, it was just a small rucksack. I walked past the receptionist, but she didn't check any lists or ask me to sign out. And on the way out, I saw one of the guys to do with the ambulances and I said, I'm going for a pint, by the way. And he says, aye, nothing to do with me. I didn't make a secret of it. He didn't seem that bothered and he knew I was from the ward. I've never consciously absconded after 5 or 6 o'clock in any of the times I've gone because I know that catching the night bus would be difficult and, well, there was a good chance I'd miss the bus. To get a car and be anonymous is very, very hard. As I'm leaving that night, I'm thinking where to go. And home is a place they've looked before, and I know they could check the bus station on the camera. And the railway stations are a similar risk, but it's not awfully well lit up to the same degree. I was weighing it up, and these were the things I was thinking. In the end, I started walking. Now, I'd been locked up for what felt like a long time, so that actual physical sensation of walking, that meant I felt free. And all the blood was pumping back to my heart. And that type of walking where you don't really know where you're going, it's liberating. It's scary, but it's liberating. I was fast walking, you know, like speed walking almost. Looking back, though, I was subconsciously heading to where my grandparents used to live. You end up thinking that you need to go back to areas that you're familiar with, where you don't stand out too much. I wanted to go away, to go far enough away from people who might know me, but close enough so that I can feel comfortable within my surroundings. If I know the area, I know what I have to do to get away. At one point, I got myself into these side streets and I didn't have a clue where I was. And then I started to panic, so I headed back and found the main road again. felt relief that I could disappear again now, but I would know where I was. It sounds odd, but I felt confident that I could go missing because I wasn't lost. It was quite risky to be wandering about on your own in the night time when, obviously, I needed some treatment. When I think about it now, the town centre was not the most desirable of places. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been walking and walking through the centre with a rucksack on my back, not sure what to do. I couldn't go back to the ward. I walked along roads I knew, and at one stage, I realised I ended up near a friend's house, but I didn't go in. I was aware that people might be looking for me, and so I would go out of sight for a bit and lie down for an hour or half an hour away from visibility. It was just to get my head together and rest until something told me just to move again. I walked down to the main hospital in the town and kept walking around it in circles. The thing with the walking was that it really helped. It helped to take away the anxiety because I was going so fast it was keeping in time with what was going through my head at the time. It was really cathartic. It was good. Every time I passed the big hospital, I had this feeling of it being okay, that people could be expected to be walking around there. And every time I reached there, I would stop for 5 or 10 minutes rest, and I felt okay about that. That first night, I eventually tried to find somewhere to sleep where I could put my stuff down and possibly make a shelter. I went into this back garden and into the shed at the end. I explored the garden, got to know it, got my breath back and made sure I was safe. I made myself a bed in the shed with a cover off the barbecue. I made myself safe and warm. Eventually, I fell asleep. After that, my time was spent looking for shelter and looking for food. I spent some time in the industrial estate around the east of the town centre. That was probably a 20-minute walk to the place where I could find leftover food outside a supermarket. That lasted 3 days. I remember feeling that I wasn't a part of real life anymore. I was completely detached from what was going around me, with people just carrying on with their everyday life, shopping or whatever. For me, I remember feeling sort of dead and really very detached from everything. In terms of coming home, I didn't know how they would react when I eventually knocked on the door. I knew that they would have had the police in touch with them. Actually, they just said, "Thank goodness you're here." And they were really pleased to see me. I don't really want to talk. I think sometimes when, after you've been missing, the attention you get when you first return is strange. People won't broach certain subjects and they sort of leave things alone. There's a lot of attention and happiness and promises of things being different and that they'll help you. It's like you don't want to burst that bubble but actually saying anything. You don't want to burst that bubble, that happy feeling, and muddle the promises. You don't want to spoil it and for it to all end. When the police came, I thought they treated me like a criminal, like I had done something really wrong. I was quite angry that I was being handcuffed, and I didn't feel I was a risk at that point. It was an overreaction, and I didn't want my family to see me in handcuffs. But this police sergeant said, "I'm not taking them off, and I'm keeping them on until you get back to the ward." I was really angry with the doctors and with the police. I didn't want to be back there. Now, if I'm walking about in the middle of the night, I want to be left alone to fucking do it. To be fair, though, the police were genuinely worried about me and thinking I'm crazy and I'm a danger to myself. I think when you're mentally ill, the rules change. Now, sometimes it's a bigger hunt because you're considered a danger to yourself, so you have a bigger search. They took me back to the ward and the staff nurse told me it was such a stupid thing to do. Well, that wasn't very helpful. I did have a need to talk to someone about my experience, and although the nurses spoke briefly to me, it was actually my consultant that really helped. The doctor helped me to see that the journey was positive because I didn't kill myself. Afterwards, when I was calmer, I had longer conversations with the doctor and the nurses about disappearing. And by sharing that with them, the burden lifted and the need for it lifted. They hadn't realised just how bad the voices had become. So my doctor did a complete change in medication and I went on to Depo, which is an antipsychotic injection. And that took a few weeks to work properly, but it took the voices away. Talking is really, really important, but it needs time. Just having an initial period of silence was important when I tried to work out what I wanted to say about going missing. Then the doctor asked me questions in such a way that it made it easy to open up to him. For me, it's important to talk about being missing with someone who understands.